There's a red dot there. Does that mean the battery's about gone? Okay. I want us to open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I want to ask a question. This might be hard to answer. Is there a verse of Scripture that stands out in your mind? A verse of Scripture that God has used in a positive way in your life as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. One that you have returned to again and again for comfort and for encouragement. I have a verse that stands out in my mind. It's found here in Galatians chapter 6. And I think without hesitation say that this verse has probably meant more to me and my wife Doris in our ministry for the Lord over the years. It's Galatians 6 verse 9. I can't tell you how often this verse has lifted my spirit as I've tried to serve the Lord and reach out to people that need the Lord and to encourage God's people. I want to read the first 10 verses just to get the context with that particular verse, and I want to focus on verse 9 in particular. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be nothing, or be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one of you shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Here's the verse that I call the most influential verse in my life as a Christian. Verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's look to the Lord again in a word of prayer, shall we? Father, I just pray that the few remarks that I make this morning might just touch the hearts of all who are here with encouragement in their life as a Christian. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take to heart the exhortation that we not become weary while doing good. I pray that you will bless and use this meditation this morning to encourage our hearts. For we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Seeking to follow Christ is not always easy. There are times when we get discouraged, times when we wonder if we're doing what we ought to do to follow the Lord and to please the Lord. Sometimes we're not sure we're making much of a difference in people's lives. Sometimes we don't realize that God has given to all of us ministry to touch lives, all of us, You don't have to be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. You just got to know the Lord as your Savior. And in knowing the Lord as our Savior, God wants us not to be weary while doing good. Now, when I think about that particular phrase, doing good, you know, there's a lot of ways we can do good. The exhortation to do good is an important one here. Let us not grow weary while doing good. In verse 1 that we read, restoring a Christian that's gotten away from the Lord. In verses 2 through 5, Paul talks about bearing one another's burdens. In verse 6, he talks about supporting God's servants financially. And we could just go on and on and fill in the blank as far as our doing good is concerned. It makes me think of 1 Corinthians 15, which says, 58, which says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's kind of like Galatians 6:9 and 1 Corinthians 15:58 go together. Don't be weary while doing good. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And don't think when you do that it doesn't matter. It does matter. Your life influences people. You might say, well, I'm not a preacher or I'm not a Sunday school teacher, but if you know the Lord is your Savior, you have a testimony. You can share with others how the Lord has changed your life. God wants us to serve Him. Some here in this fellowship serve as elders or deacons, and some teach Sunday school, or you're a youth worker, or maybe you give special music from time to time. Or maybe you just make it a point to get out and visit other older people. For me, over the years, one of the things that I've done over and over again in Conway is give out our daily bread devotional books. Each quarter, I take them around to the community, and I've done that for years. God has ministries for us, and we're all different. God wants us to impact others for the Lord Jesus. He doesn't want us to grow weary in doing that. He wants us to claim the promise that when we do good, it's not in vain. When we do good, we can count on the promise that in due season we shall reap a harvest. It might be a harvest of just someone coming up to you and saying, you know what? Your word of encouragement to me last week has meant a great deal to me. People give words of encouragement to you. How can you touch lives? How can you impact other people for the Lord? God's word is very clear here. Let us not grow weary while doing good. And doing good has a lot of applications, doesn't it? All of us are different. You might think, well, I'm not important. I can't do very much. You do what the Lord calls you to do. Touch lives. Look around and see the needs of people. It might just be a simple word of encouragement. Maybe you saw someone in this fellowship do something that was positive and maybe helping others. Maybe the best thing you could do is go up to that person and say, you know what? I just happened to notice how you were encouraging that person. And I want to encourage you to keep on doing that sort of thing. A simple word of encouragement. Recognizing how we're all called to do good. That's the exhortation here in Galatians chapter 6. There's a lot of ways to serve the Lord. Prayer becomes a real important part of what we do for others. But God wants us to each have a ministry of doing good. That's an exhortation that we need to take to heart. Notice the warning in verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. You grow weary sometimes when you say, I don't know whether I'm making a difference or not. I don't know, what can I do? And you kind of give up and you lose heart in what you're seeking to do for the Lord. It might be reaching out to restore a brother that's gotten away from the Lord or a sister that's gotten away from the Lord, or you haven't seen them very much of late. A phone call is doing good. Reaching out and touching people's lives, serving in different capacities here at the church. God wants us to be aware of growing weary, of losing heart. That's what that really means. Growing weary. You lose heart. You kind of want to give up. You wonder, I'm not really accomplishing what I think I should be accomplishing. There's an old legend that tells of the devil selling his tools at a demon convention. Now you got to use your imagination here. Okay? And all these tools at the demon convention were designed to bring harm to God's work. You say, what in the world are you talking about? I'm using my imagination now, okay? Okay, this was a legend that was told. And as you look at the different tools that Satan used, that's kind of an ugly picture. Malice, backbiting, envy, lust, immorality, gossip. On and on it goes. Satan is always busy trying to get into our lives in a way that would be destructive and a discouragement to others. But there was one particular tool, as the story is told, that seemed particularly to catch the attention as the one there at the convention noticed it. What's that tool? It doesn't have a price tag on it. The answer the devil gave at the demon convention was, that's discouragement. It's the most useful tool that I have to keep people from doing what they ought to do for the Lord. Getting discouraged, not thinking yourself to be worth anything, to be making a difference in people's lives. And when you get to feel that way, you begin to wonder. The devil said, with that tool, I can pry open a person's heart when I could never get him with any other tool, such as stealing or immorality or lust and all the different things. Simple discouragement can do great harm to the Lord's work. You get discouraged. You don't think you matter. And so you just kind of shrivel up, withdraw into your own little world, and don't look out as to how you can touch some other lives. How can we be an encouragement to God's people? The exhortation is to do good. The warning is to not become discouraged, not to think that your efforts do not matter. God wants us to realize that we can make a difference in people's lives. And this has been such an encouragement to me through the years. Every time I've given out a daily bread over the years, I said, Lord, I do it every quarter. I go around the community, and I've kept it up for years. And little by little, people realize, Dave really cares about me. He brings that daily bread by every 3 months. Here he is again. And some of the people don't go to our church, and they don't go to any church. I've had people say to me, why do you keep doing that? And it gives me an opportunity to share why I've come by with the daily bread. This matters a lot to me, and I hope it will matter a lot to you. God's word helped me to come to know how I can know for sure I'm going to heaven. And you share because you've reached out. Sometimes it takes a long time before people finally quit scratching their heads and say, well, here he comes again. He's bringing the daily bread. He must care about me. The first time, I probably wouldn't think that. But after the months pass and you keep coming back, don't grow weary while doing good. What's the promise? In due season, you will reap if you do not lose heart. Key word, losing heart means to become discouraged, to become weary, to begin to relax and give up on your efforts to help and be a blessing to others. God wants us to keep on reaching out and doing good. Discouragement, it debilitates us. It just kind of makes us shrivel up and back into our own little corner and not touch people's lives like we had been doing or should be doing. I'm just thinking about the example of going through the motions, you might say, without a heart for the people you're trying to reach out to. It's like a tour guide. I read this in one of the commentaries in preparing this message. It's kind of like the tour guide who lost his enthusiasm. He worked at a big, large museum, and every day he would go through the routine of giving out of the tour and telling people about the museum. And as he did that, he began to lose. It was just the same old thing. His words became lifeless and stale, and he wasn't really accomplishing what he wasn't really being effective in being a good tour guide. And the result was that this particular museum realized that, and they said, you know what, we're only going to have our guides serve 2 days a week so that they don't just get wore out and they don't just become lifeless in their presentation, their tour that they've been going through. They were losing their edge. They were losing their enthusiasm. It's like a man who gave out gospel tracts on a busy street corner. For many months he did that, but there wasn't any results. So you know what he did? He quit. Doesn't seem to be working. I don't seem to see anybody responding. 3 months later, after he had quit, he happened to be passing by that same street corner. And there was a man on that corner giving out gospel tracts. And he couldn't help himself. And so he went up to this young man on the street corner and asked him, how long have you been doing this? Well, he said, for a few weeks now. He said, what happened? How did you begin to do this? He says, well, a while back when I passed by here, there was a man on the street corner. He gave me a pamphlet to read. I took it home. I read the pamphlet. I came to know Christ as my Savior. And I thought, you know what? That's something I can do. And so he came back to the street corner. And there was that man who had given him that tract. And he was just overcome with encouragement. It's like he gave up too soon. There was a harvest that could have been realized in his own life and ministry. And there was. This young man got saved. But he didn't know it. He found out later that his efforts had made a difference. Our chapel has a 3-on-3 basketball tournament. We've had it over the years. It's on a Saturday. It's always in March. March Madness basketball. And we set outreach for our chapel. And we use our gym to have 3-on-3 basketball teams to play one another. And then we have a devotion right in the middle of that tournament. And somebody gives out the gospel. These young men, a lot of them don't have any interest in spiritual things, but they like to play basketball. And we use the basketball to get their interest. And they come to play. They don't come to hear a sermon. They come to play basketball. But we always have a devotion right in the middle of the tournament. Someone gives a testimony. Somebody speaks. But through the years, we've always wondered if it meant very much to these young men. It seemed like the devotion time was right in the middle of the tournament. And when the tournament was over, young men left. And we never really knew for sure. We began to wonder. We always felt we were doing the right thing. When we had the devotion, all those young men sat quietly and listened. It was a free tournament. Didn't have to pay anything. We fed them lunch. We had parents come in and watch, and we fed them lunch. And we always wondered if this effort is worth having. Is it worth keeping it up? Not too long ago, a pastor contacted me. His church had sent young men to our basketball tournament over the years, and we got talking. And I said, it's something that we often wonder whether we ever really are accomplishing anything. The guys are too busy playing basketball. They got the word of God. They listen, but we don't know about the results. And he said, let me tell you, there's been results. In our fellowship, three young men that we brought for your tournament came to know Christ as their Savior. And they're going on for the Lord right now. You don't know what an encouragement that was. Do not give up. Don't grow weary. Keep on sharing God's word. Keep on reaching out, doing what you can do best to further the work of God's kingdom. Over the years, I've conducted a lot of funerals. And a lot of times I've gotten to do funerals where the people that came to listen, many of them were not saved. But again, at a funeral, you wonder what you've accomplished. It's a group of people that come together, and you're probably not going to see them again after that funeral. But you give out the word of God, you share the gospel, and you leave the results with the Lord. And I've often wondered how many people were touched and awakened to the gospel because of the funeral that I did, sharing the gospel, which I've always done when I do funerals. And you just don't know. The important thing is not to grow weary while doing good. Continue to serve the Lord however he chooses to use you. Our chapel has an Awana program. We get kids in from the neighborhood. We sow the seed. We ask the Lord to bless it and use it in their lives. It's a matter of perseverance. It's a matter of keeping up. And it's probably not until we get to heaven that we're going to find out you not being weary did as a blessing to someone else. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. It's a promise of a harvest. Look at my key verse again. It's really life's most important, influential verse in my own life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Is that an encouraging promise or what? What you do for the Lord has an impact. Do it prayerfully. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to get to do today. I don't know who I might get to speak to. Maybe it's somebody you work with and you've been burdened to say something to them. Prayerfully go ahead and do it. Do it and ask God to bless it. Do you expect results immediately? Maybe so, maybe no. But when that seed is planted, God's word is living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. For you serve the Lord Christ, the scripture says. And that's the promise that God gives us in verse 9. In due season, that means in God's good time, when results don't seem to come quickly, that we can begin to look to the Lord and say, Lord, use the effort. It might not be till I get to the judgment seat of Christ that I'll find out how many more were in heaven because of the effort that we have made. I have taken that promise over and over again to heart. We must believe that as we continue our service for the Lord, as we continue to look for opportunities to touch lives, whatever we do, do it as unto the Lord, and don't give up. David Brainerd, great missionary to the American Indians, after months of faithful labor with few results, became discouraged. David Brainerd was about to give up. He wrote these words in his diary that have remained to this day. I began to entertain thoughts of giving up my mission at the year's end. I did so purely through being dejected in spirit. Just as I lost heart, he wrote, God sent a revival. You never know what your faithfulness will mean in the lives of others. I want you to turn over in your Bible to Ephesians, the next book over. I want to read just three verses, verses 8, 9, and 10. The key verse, the key word really is the word grace in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. The Bible says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Notice verse 10. This is important. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. You have your own sphere of influence. All of us do. Every one of us do. It might be family. Might be a son or daughter or grandson child in your family. It might be a neighbor. It might be a work associate. Whatever the relationships are that you have, you can impact your friendship by doing good works, practical ways. Ask the Lord for ways to reach out and touch people's lives. You never know when your act of kindness will make a difference. You see, God's grace touches us so that we can touch others. We experience the grace of God so that we can lift up that grace and display that grace in our friendships, caring for others, reaching out to them. Look at the cross. Look at the Savior who willingly laid down his life on that cross to save us from our sins. God, by his grace, his amazing grace, taught our hearts to fear, as John Newton wrote, and grace our fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Every day, think about opportunities God might give you to speak a word, an act of kindness to touch lives. Don't grow weary while doing good. God wants to accomplish something through you, not just through the preacher, not just through the elders at the church, but through you, you that are involved in Sunday school or touching lives in different ways with Awana. Those boys and girls, their hearts are ready and open to listen. You never know when God is going to use you to touch others. One Bible teacher wrote these words, we may get weary in the Lord's work, but if we get weary of it, something is radically wrong with our souls. Don't grow weary in the Lord's work. Ask the Lord to say, Lord, where's my mission field? Who do I know who are not saved that I pray for? What can I do to show kindness to them? Lord, give me opportunities to make a difference in people's lives. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Simple chorus we sang in our Sunday school classes. What's the promise? The promise of Galatians 6, 9. Don't get weary while doing good. Doing good. Underline those two words. That's practical. Doing good is practical. It means acts of kindness. It means a phone call. It means a visit. It means a word of encouragement. It means being sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your own life. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart. and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. Grace. Grace touches us and we become believers. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. But we're also saved to become God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. Christianity is very practical. It's very down to earth. It's not a spectator sport. It's to be a participant in touching the lives. The people that surround your life are uniquely yours. There are others as well. But the people that you're especially a friend to, a neighbor to, a work associate, if God has been burdening your heart to touch them, then say, Lord, what kind of good works can I do that will make a difference? Maybe our churches aren't growing like they should because all our friends are Christians. And there's not many that aren't. And we're not reaching those that we could be reaching. I want us to hear a song as we close this morning about God's grace. About God's grace and how amazing it is. It's a Steve Green song, I think. And it's a beautiful song, and I want you all to hear it as we close this morning.
My faithful Father, enduring friend, your tender mercies lie a river with no end. It overwhelms me, covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love still a mystery. Each day I fall on my knees, 'cause your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes me. Stronger, it's higher. divine. It's wider, it's stronger, it's higher than anything my eyes can see. Your grace still amazes me. Your love still a mystery each day. I fall on my knees. Your grace still amazes me. Your grace still amazes.
John Newton wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed." Do I hear an amen to that? Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when you understood that salvation was not of works, lest anyone should boast? I can't boast about being saved. I boast in the Lord. I rejoice in Him. I'm so thankful for what He did for me. It wasn't my works, not by works of righteousness, but it was His work for me on the cross when He paid for my sins that drew me to Him as my Savior. What a happy day when you look back on your life and remember the grace of God. I wasn't saved by my good works. I didn't have any. The only time you can do good works is when your heart's been touched and saved. And what you do to the glory of God. You do because of Jesus. You do because of what He did for you. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whatever it might be. We're all different. We all have different ministries. But God wants us to touch people's lives. He wants us to do good. Get creative. Think about ways to do good. My wife goes around our neighborhood, gives out chocolate chip cookies to the kids in the neighborhood. Before long, the parents hear about it. And they tell Doris, "The kids are looking for you to come by with your cookies." Simple thing, right? It creates questions. It creates friendships that you can enlarge on. You can touch people's lives. As God showed you grace, you can show others grace. You're not saved by your works. You'll never get to heaven by your good works. The only work that saves is the work of salvation, the work of the cross, the work of redemption, when the Lord Jesus paid for your sins. That's the work that matters. And I can remember as a boy putting my faith and trust in Christ. My salvation verse was John 3:16. I sat on the edge of my bed. I was just a boy. And my father came into my bedroom and sat down. And he read John 3:16 to me and made me understand that when the Bible says God so loved the world, it was me. He loved Dave Rickert. And I began to understand that night what the gospel was all about. And my father, as I knelt by my bedside with my dad, I trusted Christ as my Savior. That was the glorious day that I experienced the salvation that only Christ can provide for me. Has He had that happen to you? Has there been a time in your life when you realized the work that Christ did was for you on the cross? And when you accept that work, it changes you so that you begin to look outside of yourself. Do not become weary while doing good. Don't ever give up. Ask the Lord where your mission field is. It might be the grocery store where you get your groceries. It might be the checkout person. I don't know. But we can create relationships through our kindness and through our friendships. And God says, don't be weary in doing good. In due season, in God's good time, you will reap if you don't give up. I've often wondered if we had quit those. I wonder how many more young men are going to be in heaven because of our 3-on-3 basketball tournament. I wonder. I'm not really sure. I know about 3 I heard about. And I'm sure there were many others. We could hear a pin drop when we had that devotion. And these guys listened. And we kept doing it. We kept doing it. Each year we did it. And the seed was sown. Good works are powerful when we do it as unto the Lord. Whatever it might be, may God help us. May God encourage us to do that. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for being able to be together here in Wilmington. I thank you for helping Doris and I find our way here this morning. And I thank you we got here in time to enjoy the Lord's Supper and this time just to share my own heart. Life's most influential verse in my own life as a Christian, I shared it with these folks about. Don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't stop doing what God has called you to do. Make a difference. Lord, I thank you that we all can take that verse to heart. I just ask your blessing upon Wilmington Bible Chapel. Lord, I just thank you for the work here and the outreaches here. And I think of the fellowship tonight, the Singspiration. Pray that that'll go well. And I pray, Lord, that you open our eyes to see the mission field that's all around us. I confess that it's easy. It's easy to kind of just isolate us, ourselves from the needs of others. Help us not to do that. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.